Good morning. Thank you, Michael, for those songs, and you were hitting it right on the head from the title of the lesson. You figured it out. Title of our lesson today is I am not ashamed. This is a quote by Paul talking about the gospel. I've never really been ashamed of the gospel. I've been ashamed of maybe some of my report cards, you know, in English and math, but never of the gospel. And our text that Pete read this morning was taken from Romans, the first chapter. And Paul was writing to the Christians there in Rome, and he says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." Basically, everybody. What a wonderful short passage, but Paul is basically saying, as much as is in me, as much as it's up to me, don't know about other people, but up to me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you people who are in Rome. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That's power right there. The power of God to salvation for us. To everybody. First to the Jews, but also to the non-Jews, the Greeks, the Gentiles, which, unless we were originally Jewish, we're all the Gentiles. The gospel. Paul was not ashamed of it. One of the reasons he wasn't ashamed, he understood it was inspired by God. It wasn't written by man. It wasn't men getting together and don't want to get in, we're not going to get into a bashing session of some of our maybe religious friends that maybe worship in a church that they follow maybe writings originally by man in a creed book or a book that they follow that was not inspired, that was written by a human. The gospel that Paul's not ashamed of was inspired by God. That gives it its power. And it's not for private interpretation. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody, you know, and maybe you're disagreeing over an issue, and they say, well, that's your belief. You know, they always fall back on, well, that's your interpretation. I have many times. And it's not a matter of, but by saying it's your interpretation, it's saying that there's multiple ways to look at something. Truth for you might be acceptable, but then there's truth for me. There's truth. That's what Paul's not ashamed of. He understands its power. It's the power of God to salvation. That's powerful. And he won't make excuses. And we're in that same boat. You know, Paul wasn't going to make excuses for the gospel of some of the uncomfortable truths in it. Some of the hard things to swallow. Are you trying to tell me I'm not saved unless I'm baptized? That's what it says. There are some uncomfortable truths about the way we must conduct ourselves, by the way we must transform our minds, and our hearts. Paul isn't going to make excuses for some of those uncomfortable truths that he must do. And I hope we don't. And he was going to try to follow it to the very best of his ability, ultimately my ability, ultimately your ability. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. You guys probably should be memorizing this by now. I know I've used it a ton, and the other men that have the opportunity to speak at night, I know they use it. You probably can quote this as I read it, you know. We use it so often here at South Valley. But Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, and he's reminding Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it's God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine. There is doctrine. There is such a thing as doctrine, and there can be false doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then in verse 17, we see the why. That the man of God, and it doesn't leave you women out either, okay? That the man of God may be complete. I use the New King James translation in my lessons. Some translations might have that the man of God may be perfect. Not perfect as in sinless, but that perfect, complete, adequate, not lacking anything. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's no shortcomings in the Word of God. In the Word of God, that is God-breathed, that is inspired by God, not written by man, we have everything we need. We don't need additional man-made writings. This is what Paul is not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. In Romans, just a few chapters later into the book that he was writing, that he wasn't ashamed, in verse 16 and 17, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" And then a pivotal verse. "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The foundation of our faith, of what we believe, is this gospel that we hear, that Paul will preach, that others will preach. It's the faith that we've developed by somebody preaching it to you, maybe very long ago. Some of it may be 2 weeks ago. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Acts 2, we see, and this is the day of Pentecost, and we really camp out a lot on verse 37 and 38. how when the crowd in Jerusalem heard the words that they had been responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, in verse 37, they cry out, "What shall we do?" And then Peter responded, you know, "Let every one of you be baptized, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." You know, we always remember that one. But just a couple of verses later, it says in verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word." Not everybody received that word. Not everybody received that gospel. There's a difference in hearing and receiving it. Oh, I heard you. I'm not going to do anything about it. But I heard what you said. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And look at what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was that doctrine? The gospel. The gospel that Paul was not ashamed of. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the result of that gospel being preached. In James 1:21, we see a command, an encouragement, a reminder. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Now, I want to pause real quick. It's not saying you can have a little wickedness, just put away the overflow. No. Obviously, there was an overflow of wickedness. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive," accept, not just hear, "receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." There's a command, an encouragement, a reminder, and a result that when you do those, your souls will be saved. In Acts 18:8, we see that saving of the souls in real time. We see the theory there in James. Here in Acts, we see it unfold in real time. It says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." We see this concept unfold in actuality here. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. And their souls were saved. The Apostle Peter will address the concept of truth for you is different than truth for me issue. He would say in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Refer him to the Apostle Peter next time you're in a conversation. "Well, that's how you interpret it." There you go. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That's what separates it. You have your truth, I have mine. Well, I want to think that our truth is based on the Bible. Our truth is based on the gospel that Paul was not ashamed of. in Galatians, Paul had to address that some people were leaving that truth. And in verse 6, it doesn't take Paul long in his letter to the Galatians. After some initial greeting, he gets right into, in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. It's not like there's various gospels. You're leaving the one true gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. It was already happening in the first century. It didn't take but a short time for people to start twisting and like, this is a strong word, perverting the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. There is only one true gospel, and that's the one that Paul is not ashamed of. He would write to Timothy, he would say, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke if you need to, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. You preach that word to people, and he tells them what's going to happen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They like the Galatians, will start drifting toward a different gospel, a different set of teachings. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Reminded, you know, this is not a new concept. And in the Old Testament, you know, speak to us the smooth things. Water it down. Give us cotton candy, not meat. Some that will melt in our mouths. That's what we want to hear. And the result, when they do that, is in 2 Thessalonians, when Jesus returns, this is what's going to happen. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel that Paul is not ashamed of has some uncomfortable truths. You mean some people are going to be sent to hell? Unfortunately, yes. Two groups of people. Those that do not know God. Doesn't that put a pretty big responsibility on us to get that word out? On that great and glorious day when we're standing before the throne, but I didn't know, is not going to cut it. Those who do not know God and those who do not obey, who do not receive, who do not act upon it. We heard it. I just didn't do anything about it. They're going to be facing that fiery vengeance. And wrapping up, Peter uses that concept that Paul just talked about, and he says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? He's asking a very serious question, but one, a lot of self-reflecting. What's going to be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? In conduct, in attitude, in doing the things that we should do. We saw those in Acts 2 that received the word gladly, were baptized. And it brings us right back, full circle, to our scripture reading. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." We have the opportunity in just a moment. Michael is going to lead us in a song, "I Am Not Ashamed to Own My Lord." Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 14:15 that I will sing with the spirit and will sing with the understanding. As we sing this song, as Michael leads us, let us take to heart those words, "I am not ashamed to own my Lord." Very powerful man-written song. It's not scripture, but it does make you think. If we can be of service to you, I want to extend the invitation to you if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity to do so. If you need to ask the congregation for prayers, or if there is sin in your life that you need to repent of, whatever your need, please come forward as Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.